All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Saturday, April 18th, 2015. It is glorious out there, and I'm sure that the golf courses are packed with golfers and who have been who have a winter of pent-up frustration of not being able to be out on the golf course because it's been a brutal winter. But it's actually it's absolutely beautiful today. Already 50 degrees at 8 o'clock this morning. It's supposed to top out about 70, which is a great start to the weekend. It won't be as nice tomorrow, probably in the 60s, maybe 50s, partly cloudy. But still, compared to what we've had, plenty of opportunity to play some golf this weekend. And I'm sure the golf courses on Long Island and in the Northeast are just packed today. Looking forward to talking to James Hong today. He is the teaching professional at Harbor Links Golf Course, and he is just a wonderful teacher and an unbelievable teacher of youth kids. And just I'm looking forward to talking with him because his methods, the way he talks to kids, the way he treats kids, seems to be catching on in the Northeast and is well respected in the Northeast, I should say. And so I'm really looking forward to that. We'll be talking about Harbor Links as well, the facility. It has a little bit of everything. I really like what they've done there. They have a championship course. They have a short course, short game area, driving range. They got a little bit of everything. So, you know, I think that it has a nice balance of what you want in a facility. If you're not ready for the championship course, you can go to the executive course. So looking forward to talking to him about that. You know, let's get to our first break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to James Hong. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by James Hong of Harbor Links Golf Course. James, how you doing, man?
How are you, Anthony? Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. Really looking forward to having a chat with you today. It's got to be an exciting time for you, springtime. So the weather's starting to break now, and I'm assuming your tee sheet is going to be pretty full for a while now.
Yep, it's pretty full. It's also the start of hay fever season, so I don't know. That's something we want to celebrate, too.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, you know, we just have to take the good with the bad. You know what I'm saying?
I'll take it.
Absolutely. I'll take 70 degrees compared to the winter we just had and the spring we just had.
Yeah, over-shoveling, no problem.
Absolutely. I wanted to start with the Grade A facility you guys have there at Harbor Links. Designed by renowned architect Dr. Michael Herdson. Just a wonderful facility. I don't know if you heard me setting it up. It just has a little bit of everything. Just talk a little bit about that and you know what they've done and how they've transformed that old sand mine they had over there.
Absolutely, yeah. Harbor Links Golf Course. It's a public facility in North Hempstead, Port Washington, and we've got an 18-hole championship golf course plus a very challenging 9-hole executive golf course. And we also have a driving range that's a little bit more than 300 yards long, so no problem hitting drivers there. And we have a wonderful facility there, great staff, banquet halls, grill room. So you can come on in there for any activities that you want. And our teaching staff, we have 5 great teachers on staff here. So we're fully loaded. We're ready to go.
Yeah, and you have that, and you also have a little spot in the back of the range, right, that you use utilize as well?
Yes, we use the South Range, which is an all-grass facility,
yeah.
And we use it for basically all of our one-hour lessons and all of our junior programs and our adult group lessons, clinics, private lessons, et cetera.
There's something you're doing right there. You know, can you talk a little bit about what your goal is and or your philosophy behind that is?
Yeah, you're talking about our junior programs.
Oh, yeah. Did I cut out there for a second?
Yeah, the phone cut out for a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What I was saying was I had talked to a couple of people in the med area, some professionals, and they talk about the strength of your youth program. And, you know, I just wanted you to talk a little bit about the philosophy behind it and,
right.
and why you think it's become such a well-respected program, a model program, if you will, in the med area.
Well, one of the things I did, I have two young children of my own. So what I really look at from a base level, a foundational level, is as a parent, what do I want my kids to get out of the program? And
sure.
So that's what we build it on. It's very straightforward in that manner. And so we want the kids to understand or learn and the game, obviously, but we want to develop a sense of, boy, I really love this game. It's not what I thought it was. And that it's not just something they can do by themselves. They can do it with their friends. And, you know, they don't have to be PGA Tour players. They can just go out and have some fun with grandpa or dad or, like I said, their best buddy, something like that. So we're really emphasizing the fun factor of learning the game.
One of the things that that I noticed and read on your I know you keep a blog there at jameshong.golf.wordpress.com. And one of the words that I found really that struck out, that stared back at me, and the phrase was self-discovery, which I think is so important. Why does that seem to have been such a hard philosophy to get through to golf? You know, it seems like everybody's done it as a kid, but in terms of getting it across in golf instruction, it seems to have taken a while for that to take hold. Why do you think that is?
I think the way golf instruction is taught, particularly to children, is that we're treating them like they're still adults. And even in that case, we might still be having an issue with that because we become so technical with the instruction that we get over analytical with everything that we're doing. It's like asking somebody how to brush their teeth in the morning.
Right.
You know how you hold it? Where's your thumb? Where's your forefinger? Is it up? Is it down? You just do it.
Exactly.
And I think what we do in other sports is we just give them an opportunity. Hey, here's the golf ball. Or here's a baseball, here's a soccer ball, and you need to do this. And then you let them discover. And I think with kids especially, nowadays what I notice is there's such a huge fear of failure that if I do this wrong, the world is going to end.
Yeah.
And, that kills that level of joy of the game.
Yeah, and it certainly kills self-discovery, that's for sure.
Exactly.
You know, and to your point, I mean, we just came out of, like I said, a brutal winter, but one of the things we got to do was that I was able to do is get the kids out, my son and my daughter, to play some pond hockey. And, you know, they had skated once or twice before, but they'd never played hockey before. They didn't know, they didn't know how to play with the stick and to stick handle, you know, puck, you know, handle the puck with the stick and play, you know, in a context of a hockey game, you know what I mean? And
exactly.
And I didn't tell my children where to put with their hands on the stick. You know, they just kind of looked at me and just saw me and what I was doing, and they just kind of figured it out. And they figured out how to stop, and they figured out, you know, part of that was just, you know, falling down and instead of trying to stop. And then, you know, my son got tired of falling down, so he tried to stop on, you know, stand up. And so, you know, they just figured it out on their own by just watching and being in the context of a game. You know, there was no instruction. There was no bring the stick back to this degree, you know, put your hand down, you know, this so many inches down on the club, on the stick. Yeah, they just figured it out.
Right. I mean, that's a great example right there. And there was no one there to tell them you're doing it wrong, you're doing this bad and everything like that. You know, sometimes when we're giving a lesson, that kind of slips out. It's like, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way. Now they're worried about making mistakes.
Yeah, well, I think part of that is probably because I was so winded. I don't really think I could be able to. I was still trying to catch my breath. I don't think I had time for instruction. You know, you bring up a good point, language. How much do you pay attention to how what you say and the manner in which you say to children?
Oh, you have to. You have to be very careful with what you say. And what I mean by careful, it's not always about making sure that's their feelings aren't hurt. It's also making sure that you're getting your point across. And sometimes you are trying to find out the right way to say something. So you may say it one way, it doesn't click. So try it another way. And what I try to emphasize a lot, I'm not 100% at this, but I try to say things in a I guess you could say, in a positive manner,
sure,
rather a negative manner. You know how it is when you're told not to do something, you're going to do it.
Right, exactly.
So instead of saying, don't do this, I'll say, well, that's pretty good. Why don't you try doing this, see if it's better?
Right, right.
And that kind of pushes them along that path to self-discovery.
Who is, we're going to get back to the self-discovery in a second, but let's, when you say things like that, like rewording, and it makes me think of Harvey Pinnick and those words you shouldn't say, like can't and, you know, don't,
right,
or, you know, who are some of your influences and who has shaped you the most, you think, to this point?
It's interesting because what I noticed about what you're just asking is it's not just within the golf world, it's just teachers in general.
Yep, yep.
That I was, over the years, from my childhood till now, it's just hearing the same things from different teachers, from an English teacher, from my father, from my mom, from a coach in a different sport. And, of course, reading Harvey Pinnick's book and hearing it from a couple of teachers.
Sure.
And that's something that I would encourage young instructors to do, is be able to go out and visit other professionals and see how they teach and listening to how they say things. You may not agree with their style of teaching or the method or system that they're using, but how are they getting their point across to both juniors as well as adults?
Is that something that you think is not done enough? I know you do it. I know I saw you traveling with Kirk, and you guys went to, I think, Sutton's program,
right
down there. And so, you know, I know you seem to, I know Kirk does, just the people that I kind of follow through social media, because I don't know everybody personally, but you seem to collaborate a lot. Is that something that you think is happening more with a younger generation of teachers? Is it just a certain group of teachers, as opposed to maybe old school teachers? How does that, the idea of collaboration and learning from each other, has it stayed the same? You know, I don't, someone from outside the profession, where is the collaboration as what you do with Kirk and others,
right,
you know, in today's game?
I think it's all across the board, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. It's hard to pinpoint it just because we do have such a large amount of people,
right,
in our field. And
right,
there are a lot of young instructors. There are a lot of established instructors that still travel around and visit others to observe and learn.
Mm-hmm.
There are those that are still entrenched in their ways. And I understand their point. Hey, I've been successful doing it my way for years. Why do I want to change? I'm not going to condemn them, but to be honest with you, I was one of them.
Sure.
I was someone who thought I knew everything.
Yep.
And when I turned it around and I said, you know what, maybe I'm not the smartest man in the room, and I started going out, I started learning how to do this better. And I think that's what I would encourage young instructors. You know, there's a lot of seminars you could go to. You could get certified. But while I like that, I think there are a handful of good certifications you can go to. I think it's also important to save some of your money that you're making and use that for travel expenses and go and see people.
I find it interesting that you had to go through a period of, you know, it's kind of funny, a period of self-discovery to learn to better teach kids and your students to find their own self-discovery in the game of golf. It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and I know that I've talked to several young teachers, and one of the things that I pointed out to them is don't be afraid of making mistakes. If we're telling our students, learn from your failures, that's what we should be doing as well. This age of technology, 3D technology, 4D, everything that's coming out now over the last few years, we're going to overteach. There's always that debate. Is technology good for the business, et cetera? Well, you know what? When you get something, you're going to overteach with it, because that's the only way you're going to find out what it's good for you, what you need and what you don't need. So don't be afraid of that, but just learn from it.
Absolutely. My guest is James Hong. He's a teaching professional at Harbor Links Golf Club, and he's also a U.S. Kids Top 50 Master Kids Teacher. We're going to have more from James in 2 minutes. We're going to just take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit PetesGolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
La Marmite Restaurant is a Long Island landmark. The tradition remains, but the menu, music, and vibe are all new. Golfers enjoy our wine selections from the vineyards of Ernie Els, Luke Donald, Jack Nicklaus, and Jim Nance, along with music on Friday and Saturday nights. Visit our website at lamarmiterestaurant.com for more details. Choose La Marmite for your next night out. We'll make it a special one.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is James Hong, teaching professional at Harbor Links Golf Club and U.S. Kids Golf Top 50 Master Kids Teacher. James, you brought up the idea of technology, and I love the fact that you said that, you know, sometimes you got to do things overboard to figure out where you need to scale back and sort of figure out your comfort zone, if you will, with technology. But in terms of using it with kids, on the one hand, you have the idea of kids making it like a video game on some level. But at the other hand, you threaten to make them a little too technical. How do you find that balance? How do you find the role of technology has been able to, one, help you? And two, how have you found that balance to not get too technical with it?
Right. I think that's a great question. What I do is I'll go back and forth, having all of the stuff out and having nothing out. And you can watch the students' reaction to the situation, because one day I'll have everything out, the body track mat, the flight scope, the V1 video, everything, all the bells and whistles. They're looking all around. They're seeing it like it's a video game, as you described, and they're having a good time. And we'll do that for a little while, and then all of a sudden, another session, they may show up, and nothing is out. And they're kind of looking around. And you're telling them, look, this, all of that stuff is really cool and everything, but it's all meant to help you become your own golfer. You're the person, you're the player that's going to be out there. So let's kind of take what you learned from all of this technology, and let's eventually just go and see the ball and see what it's doing.
In what aspect do you think that technology helps kids the most?
I think it accelerates the learning process. It gives them some feedback, some immediate feedback. In this day and age, that's important. We're always concerned about how fast our Wi-Fi is, our computer is.
Sure, right.
Right? So,
yeah, sure.
So we want that immediate feedback. And once they get that and it's established, they're willing to put the effort in to practice. That's what it's really helps with.
When you talk about in terms of, let's say, more feel aspects then, and transition, would you say, to more feel aspects of the game after coming from a technological standpoint?
You know what? I was just talking to a bunch of kids yesterday about this too. I said that when we're talking about something, I'm going to ask you, what do you think that is? You write it down on your phone, your iPad, on a piece of paper, your definition of what it was, because that's your definition. That's your Wikipedia. Once you've established what that definition is, we're going to use that from now on. So some kid might, like if I'm trying to get them to do something with their hands, they may say, gee, it feels like I'm spreading peanut butter on a piece of bread.
Oh, that's excellent.
Right? Guess what we're saying from now on? Spread that peanut butter. Come on. Got to spread that. That's what we're looking for.
Right.
So we don't want to stay technical. That's the feel aspect of it.
That's tremendous. How much of the, I just wanted to bounce back over to your teaching part of it, in terms of how much do you do now teaching-wise actually on the golf course or in some sort of real context as opposed to range work?
I would say in the past, up until the middle of last year, it was probably about 20 to 25% on the golf course. And I think starting towards the end of last summer till now, it's jumped up to about 40%.
It's amazing, right? I mean, I started a couple of years ago where when I was redoing my swing and whatnot, and I just and now I see a friend of yours, Kirk, and we're, you know, unless it's the middle of winter or I needed to get some, like you said, check in with the technology part of it, where I just want to see some numbers or just get some exact distances or just have a general understanding of what's going on and
right.
and whatnot, we always go on the golf course. I would never, I'm not sure, you know, unless there was something really wrong. Now I get it that you're at a facility that's also, you know, generating revenue. So you
right.
it's very difficult to be out on the golf course, but all being told, it's just so much better to be out on the golf course and in the context of what you're trying to do.
Right. And I credit Kirk. He we've talked a lot about it. Kirk has told me about how much he takes his students out. And that's something that definitely, like I mentioned, it's going up to 40% now. I'm going to try and make it even more than that
yep.
as this season progresses and just become more out on the course, definitely.
Yeah, I just think it being on the course helps with the idea, just getting back to your original sort of philosophy of self-discovery. I mean, there's things you can do on the range, don't get me wrong. Like, let me see what it looks like to try and cut the ball or hook the ball. But when you see it in the context of the sport, and like you do as a kid, like if you're playing hockey and there's two nets and you're on the ice, or if you're playing a basketball, you're on the court. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, you don't have to sort of imagine the court like you would if you're on the range. It's just getting back to the idea of self-discovery. I feel like it helps facilitate that idea.
And I think that what we'll see, and it's obviously a lot easier at a private facility than a public facility, but
sure.
When you're speaking to a student and you say to them, all right, we're going to take this out on the golf course, let's go. I mean, their eyes light up because they thought they were just staying on the range.
Right, of course.
And now you've got a student that wants to work with you that's probably suddenly more dedicated to their game and is excited about learning. So it's definitely something that I would encourage instructors to do more.
Sure, and they're just excited to ride in the golf cart. I mean,
exactly,
a lot of points. Yeah, that's part of the... you know, the experience for them. And that's great, you know, and that's what you want it to be.
Right, right.
All right, I want to just take one more break, and we'll come back. We'll finish things up with James Hong from Harbor Links Golf Club. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf specializes in golf club repair, re-gripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to have James Hong, teaching professional at Harbor Links Golf Club and a U.S. Kids Golf Top 50 Master Kids teacher on the program with me. James, it's we're coming out of winter. People are excited to get golf, to get into the golf mode and get back out on the golf course. Any suggestions that you have or tips to sort of how to ease into it for those of us who were busy over the winter, weren't able to really work on our games in any kind of shape or form? What do you tell people who are just getting back into the swing of things? No pun intended.
Oh yeah, definitely. What I would suggest you do is first of all, get in touch with your instructor
mm-hmm.
and set up one or two sessions just for a tune-up. You don't have to do an overhaul, just kind of like get things back in gear.
Kind of get back to the ABCs a little bit.
Yeah, just a couple of tweaks. Hey, you forgot about this. Oh, and you might actually find out that the time off, it just rested you up.
Right.
And then what I would do is to spend the next couple of weeks, spend the rest of April just going out and getting used to being on the course, on the grass. Don't worry about the scorecard. You want to pick it up. That's fine. Move on to the next hole. Do something like that. Just to get your feet grounded, so to speak, and get your game back in gear. Get a feel for the game again. Then when May starts rolling around, then you can start to look at the scorecard, start to think more about course management. And if you notice, I haven't been talking about the technical aspects of the swing. Just go out there and play like we've just been talking about.
Absolutely. It's funny how you play other sports, and there doesn't seem to be – a high level of expectation when you're doing something recreational. You know, we go out on the golf on the basketball court. You and I play a game of horse. It's not really that, you know, it's fun, yeah. Right? But right. As soon as we get on the golf course, it doesn't matter that we haven't swung a club in 2 months. You know, right. We expect to hit the ball right down the middle, and it's just amazing to me that the unreasonable amount of expectations golfers put on themselves on a weekly basis.
Oh, it's amazing. They hit a ball, and if they hit a poor shot, they think the world has come to an end. And I say that to them. I say, did the ground open up and swallow it? Did the hand of God come down and smite us where we stand? No,
right.
We're still here. And we still have to pay our taxes. So just find the ball. Let's go again.
Right, right. And you know, I just don't understand. Like, I'll go down every winter. I play with my cousin, and, he gets to play a little bit. He doesn't play a whole lot. I'm like, and I say, and he'll hit a shot, and it goes wayward, and he'll be like, oh, man, you know, and I'll be like, dude, I'm like, man, you play once every 2 weeks. I'm like, what did you expect, you know? And it's just amazing that golf brings out, I don't know what it is about. I can't put my finger on it exactly, that we can play other sports recreationally and not have the level of expectation that golfers do in playing recreationally as well.
Yeah, it's that one shot that we hit, and we just can't let that one go.
All right.
One perfect shot.
Absolutely. All right, let's have a little fun. What's, let's say, favorite course on Long Island to play, let's say, outside of Harbor Links Golf Club, the most fun you have, what course you have the most fun playing on Long Island?
I really enjoy Bethpage Red.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the blue course as well.
Yep. I love Bethpage Red. I just think it's a shame that it doesn't get the acclaim that the black does. But you know, it's not, how could it, with being that there's a U.S. Open on it, you know, and a PGA Tour event. But to me, dollar for dollar, equal as fun and a test of golf.
Yes. Now, mind you, Anthony, I probably play about 8 to 9 rounds a year.
Right. Exactly.
So I don't have a lot of courses to choose from.
Favorite, all right, well, in the past, favorite private facility you've played?
Anglebrook Golf Club up in Westchester.
What did you like about that?
Oh, my goodness. When I played there, it was like I was playing on, and this may sound like an insult, but it's not. It seemed like everything was artificial turf. It was just perfect. And the deers running across the tee boxes, it was just like another world.
Who would you have in your? Let's see. Let's do this a couple of ways. Let's say if you were going to play out with three other guys from the PGA Tour currently on tour, who would you choose?
I would choose Fred Couples.
Okay.
Jordan Spieth.
Okay.
And I would choose Rory McIlroy. Or no, you know what? Sergio. I would choose. I want
Sergio.
Three really, you know why? I want three very different people.
Okay.
I just want to see what happens and have conversation.
There's a lot of potential for socially awkwardness there.
Oh, yeah.
You seem to be okay with that.
No problem.
James, I can't thank you enough for being part of the program. It's been a pleasure to have you on and talk about and just to get that insight into understanding, particularly instruction on the youth level. Really wonderful stuff. Thank you very much.
This was fun. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. We'll look forward to seeing you out on the golf course soon, okay?
Sounds good.
Take care, man.
You
too. All right. That was James Hong, Harbor Links Golf Club, U.S. Kids Tops 50, Masters Kids teacher. Just a wonderful guy and obviously a wonderful instructor. Thank you for joining me for this week. Really appreciate you tuning in, and I really appreciate your support. Look forward to having you again next week. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.